here at New Bethel Baptist Church. I can still recall him standing tall, delivering the word. But the strongest sermons that he preached weren't from that old pulpit. No, his message came through clearest in the way my grandpa lived. He told me, show up your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then son, it talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, and the message will shine through. So many times I've seen him down at Forrester's Cafe, with 20 bucks and breakfast for some soul who'd lost their way. Poor folks, sick folks, hungry folks, shut-ins and bereaved. He'd stand right by their side in their hour of need. He told me, show them your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching folks will pay attention to. If you ain't walking the walk, then son, it talk, and that talk won't do. Show them your sermon, message will shine through. Well, I didn't make a preacher like my grandpa thought I might, but I hope there's still a sermon in the way I lead my life. Yeah, show them your sermon if you want it to ring true. Your life's the only preaching to. If you ain't walking the walk, then son, it talk, and that talk won't do. Show 'em your sermon, and the message will shine through.
I told you you were speeding.
Don't worry. I got pulled over by this guy last month, and I pleaded with him not to give me a ticket, and he gave me a warning.
Good afternoon. Oh, Mr. Smith, speeding again.
Hi, officer. Yeah, I know. I promise I'll never do it again. Okay?
I can't believe this.
Shh.
Please sign here.
You're giving me a ticket?
You were speeding, sir.
That's not fair. You gave me a warning last time.
Oh, I see. You want justice.
So,
to be fair, I'll not only give you a ticket for speeding today, I'll also give you the ticket you deserved last month.
Do you continue to live sinfully because you expect God to have mercy? Well, the Bible says, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. God expects us to live holy lives. His grace is amazing. Don't take it for granted. Show your gratitude with obedience. A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
Hey friends, it's your host, Wyatt Timmons. I said that things move along pretty quick here on highways and byways, and that's just what they do. We're about ready to open up a can of worms on that old debate about evolution versus creation. But this time around, we have an expert in the field on creation and evolution, a professor that knows both sides of the whole argument. Let's hear what Ken Ham from over at Answers in Genesis has to say to stir up the coals a bit. There's probably no better place to start than with that old Big Bang theory, right? Well, here's Ken Ham with a few thoughts to get us rolling.
Well, you know, evolutionists, and sadly some Christians too, claim that billions of years ago, all the mass in the universe was concentrated into a tiny ball, maybe as small as a pinhead. But then, for some reason, it exploded with enough force to cause this tiny ball to expand and scatter throughout the universe. Now, as a result, they say, all the galaxies, solar systems, planets, and eventually life were formed. But first of all, where did the matter come from to form this tiny ball? And secondly, how is it possible to condense all of the matter of the universe into such a small size and keep it that way? And finally, what caused it to explode? You see, these are all unanswered questions. Now, the evolutionists say that creation is unbelievable. Yet the Bible tells us that in the beginning was God, and that an infinitely intelligent God created matter. It also tells us that he made this matter into stars and spread them out across the heavens. He created all life. The exciting thing about being a Christian is that we have answers. Answers from Genesis to even the basic questions of life. Well, our Creation magazine once featured an interview with Dr. Danny Faulkner, an astronomy professor at a major American university. His response to the Big Bang was, quote, "I'm really concerned with people who put that much faith in the Big Bang. As a Christian, my biggest concern is that it doesn't agree at all with the Genesis account of how the world came to be, and my big concern is that when you make that the fingerprint of God, as it were, then when the Big Bang is discarded, what does that do to Christianity?" End of quote. Dr. Faulkner points out a very important point that all Christians need to take seriously. You see, if a Christian has accepted the Big Bang as fact and then has used this belief to reinterpret God's word in Genesis, what happens when the Big Bang theory is finally discarded? This means they have to change their understanding of the Bible. We need to stick with the answers found in Genesis.
I love to read my Bible about the mighty men of old who fought the fight courageous with hearts faithful and bold. I'm glad that they were able, but looking back I see the God was more impressed with their availability. Noah was there when the water started and everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. I remember when the miracle began, God who does the work. Now I have seen some miracles in my life, no doubt. My ship was going under, but the Lord, he pulled me out. And I know it's not because of who I am, what I've done, except the day I took my life and gave it to his son. Daniel was there in the lion's den when those cats forgot to chew. Elijah was there when God started cooking up a Baal barbecue. David was there slinging stones, Goliath hit the dirt. They were all mighty men when the miracles began. It's God who does the work. Everything turned to blue. Moses was there when the water parted and the Israelites walked on through. Joshua was there when the shout went up and the walls fell in the dirt. They were all mighty men when the miracles began. It's God who does the work. Miracles begin.